Today we are starting Masechet Yevamot.
Okay.
First thing to be noted is if you got bored of having seams every once in a while, you won't need to get bored anymore. We have a long Masechet ahead of us, 120 about pages. So, yeah, 122. Okay.
All Yevamot, or does it change topics after a while?
Oh, so it's not all Yevamot. So it does change topics. We'll see later on in the Masechet, but for the first good set of prakim, we're going to be all in Yevamot. Big discussion about why Yevamot is the first Masechet in Nashim. It seems like a strange place to start. And all the more so, the first Mishnah is a very strange place to start, which as we see in Mishnayot often, and this is just typical of Mishnah, that you would think it would start at the beginning and start to explain to you basics, and instead it starts with exceptions. Okay? Another good example of this is, so the first Mishnah, I'll just tell you already, is 15 women who are patur from Yibum, and patur the extra wives that he's married to also from Yibum. So it's an exception to the case. Another good case, Masechet Makot, starts out, Ketzad ein ha'idim nasim zomimim. Okay? Without saying, there's such a thing of zomimim, this is what the punishment is, right? They give it a case where it's not. So here also, they start with a case where it's not, and it starts with, Bechlal, it starts Masechet Nashim with Yevamot. So there's a bunch of different answers given. The Rambam says that the first thing we're going to get to deals a lot with all the Isurei Arayot, people that you're not allowed to marry. And they say that, the Rambam says it's important, before you get into Masechet Nashim and start talking about marriage, you have to know who you can't marry, who you're allowed to, who you're not allowed to marry. That's one possible reason. None of these answers are 100% convincing. That's why, like I always say, there's lots of answers. And another one says that it's all about, Yibum is about somebody dies, and somebody dies, and maybe I should really start, before I even get to why we start with Yevamot, is what is Yibum? Maybe we should even go back, and then I'll get to the reasons. Yibum is, we're doing the Gemara, but you can follow along most of the Gemara. Most of it today is the Mishnah, so you could start with that and then move to the Gemara. So what is Yibum? Yibum is that if a couple is married, or it could be a man married to many wives, which is why we have all these people on the table. One recommendation I got from a friend, Yordana Kup Yosef, she recommended to me that when you teach Yevamot, you have people, and then you can show, okay, I recommend this to anyone listening online, if you have a set of play school people or something like that, take the people, and then you show who's married to who. It works the best if you take people that look the same, because then you could show there's going to be brothers and sisters and all, you know, people who are related to each other. So I tried to get a set of a few of the same kind of people. They didn't have a huge range in the store, but I got what I could. And then when you show someone die, you know, you just knock them over, and it makes it very easier to visualize, because there's all these charts and family charts. And for example, here's the Morot Daf Hayomi. I ordered Masechta, and it comes with a whole set of charts. The Schottenstein has charts. The Koran has its own system, which is actually great. They put an X on someone who dies. They put an X over the head if he died second, and two X's over the head if he's the third guy who died, because we're going to see all these cases where one guy dies, and the next brother dies, and the next brother dies, and what happens. So everybody has their own system. Everyone's going to have to figure out for themselves what works the best for them, because I find with all these things, visualizing is sometimes a little difficult when you're reading a chart or when you're doing this. You know, for me, it's always easier, and I'm sure it's the same for everybody here, but it's more complicated to teach in this way, to think about your own family relationships. Okay, if my mother's brothers, you know, and then you can think of a name and put a name to it, so that helps. So we'll try out with the people. It helped me yesterday when I was preparing. So if you knock them over, and then they're dead, and then you can kind of see who is married to who and how it works, and we'll try to work with them. Again, anyone listening online, you can try to use your own set and try to follow like that if you want. So what is Yibum? You have a couple, they're married, okay? This woman's married to this guy's married to this woman. Let's say he has a few wives, okay? He's got a few interesting-looking wives here. Okay. He dies without any children from any of the wives. So his brother, okay, he dies. His brother is now obligated to marry one of the wives, okay? And if he has a few brothers, right, then either, you know, it usually goes to the older one, then the younger one, okay? And the brothers are supposed to marry. Now, generally, there's an Isur Arayot to marry your brother's wife. It's one of the Arayot. You can't marry your brother's wife. So how does he marry the brother's wife? That's what he's basically doing. Even if the brother's dead, you're not allowed to marry his wife. But the mitzvah of Yibum comes and overrides that and says, despite the fact that this is an Isur Erva, The importance of Yibum, of continuing the mate, the shame of the mate, that's more important, okay? And therefore, we're going to allow the brother to marry the wife, okay? However, only that Isur Arayot is allowed. If for some reason she has a relationship, and this is what our first mission is going to be all about, one of the wives, doesn't matter which one, has a relationship with this brother that somehow there's an Isur Arayot there, but there wasn't with her husband, okay? Because let's say they have different fathers or different, no, actually, I shouldn't say that. Okay, backtrack for 1 minute. Yibum only applies if this guy has brothers from the same father. Okay? It only goes through the father. So it's only people who have the same father that are chayav in Yibum for their brother. If it comes from the mother, okay, if he's got no siblings through his father and only through his mother, then they're not obligated in Yibum. So Yibum only goes through the man's father. So all his relative, all his brothers through his father are chayav.
And only if he hasn't had children at all yet, right?
Only if he hasn't had children at all. Right. Now, there's a few... This is a good question. If he has children and they died before he dies, so when he is dead, he's got no live children, even though he did, but it has to include grandchildren. Mm-hmm. If, let's say, he had a child and the child had a grandchild, and the grandchild's still alive, then he doesn't do... the wife is not chayav in Yibum. But if he has no children right now, even if he had and they were dead, then they do Yibum. If he has children, and after he dies, they die, there's no Chiyuv of Yibum. The Chiyuv of Yibum is Chal at the moment. It doesn't work post. Emalasa, right? Like, in other words, someone, he had one kid and the kid died a year later, doesn't matter. When you died, you had someone who was continuing on your legacy. That's really the concept, that someone's continuing on the legacy. So that's Yibum. So basically, she marries the brother.
So he marries her. So,
yeah.
These two
are married.
He dies. There was a child. Then the child dies. If this brother wants to...
No, he cannot.
He cannot.
Exactly. That's a very good question that you're asking. So if the child dies and the brother decides, out of the goodness of his heart, he wants to continue the shame of his brother, he's not allowed because now they have Yisur Arayot. Kol od you don't have the chiyuv of Yibum, then you have Yisur Arayot, then you can't do it. Okay, we're going to even see a case at the very end of today where that comes up. Not the same case, but another situation where because there's no chiyuv Yibum or there's a safek about it, there's no chiyuv Yibum midoraita, how we treat it. Okay, now.
So what about the other wives?
Okay, so once he marries one wife, that's it. Now, this is very interesting. Until he does Yibum, all these women can't marry anybody. They are chayavim to marry the brother. One of them is. Okay? They're called zakuk liyabam. Okay? They need to do Yibum. Okay? They need a yabam. They need someone who could do Yibum with them. So that whole time, they're forbidden to marry anybody else. They're kind of stuck there like agunot. Okay? Until they do Yibum, now we haven't gotten to yet, chalitza. Right? If the brother doesn't want to do Yibum, then they can do, and then they go down the list of brothers, nobody wants to do it, they do Chalitza. Okay? Chalitza is when, right, she spits in the shoe and they have this whole process. Nowadays, because we don't marry more than one wife, we don't ever do Yibum, we only do Chalitza, and they still do it today in the Batei Din. Yeah, they do it. I always remember this case when I was in the hospital with my first child. And Seth was supposed to go that morning to the Beit Din to go with this woman to do chalitza. It's a very sad story. She got married later in life, and then she had a husband, and he got sick, and he was going to take her to the Beit Din, and he had to call her back and say, "I'm not going to take it," because it's a very unpleasant ceremony for the woman, and it's not the most sympathetic of our ceremonies in Judaism. In any case, they still do it
today
in the Batei Din.
There are all these stories now of people men holding wives ransom for,
Oh yeah, I actually didn't know that. You can imagine. I mean, unfortunately,
thousands of dollars.
Right, because like you said, they're agunot. They're stuck. They can't get out of it till they do chalitza. Okay, so what else do we want to intro? I think. Right. Okay, that's basically the basic intro. We're going to learn, if you don't understand everything now, we're going to see lots of things over and over, and we're going to eventually get the hang of everything. Okay. Now, if, this is what our mission is all about. Okay, I'll read it inside for a minute, and then we'll explain it. Chamesh Esrei Nashim, there's 15 Arayot, basically. שפותרות צרותיהם וצרות צרותיהם מן החליצה ומן היבום עד סוף העולם. Okay, first of all, a few interesting things literarily about this Mishnah that are common to Mishnayot that I thought I would point out. Number one, 15 nashim. Okay, they give a list, but they give a number. This is very common in Mishnayot. Arba avot nizikin, arba, right, what is it? The beginning of Shabbat. Arba, or right? I forget exactly how it goes. There's a lot of numbers, and it's because they wanted to memorize them. So it was easier to memorize. If you say 15, so then you're right. Okay, you count, and right, you go to the store, you know you need 5 items, so you don't bother making a list, but you remember there's 5. So when you're in the store, try to remember all 5 that you need. Okay, I'm sorry I'm interrupting. I forgot. I wanted to go back to why Yevamot is the first Masechet. So we gave the Rambam's answer, which is, since it deals with Arayot, which we're going to start with, it's important to know who's usher to you in order to know who you can marry. So therefore, Seder Nashim starts with this. Another one, first of all, there's the one who says that some people have a different order, and it actually belongs after Gittin, which sort of makes a little bit of sense, because it's also about breaking marriages or complicated marriages. That's one answer to say it's not even in the right place. Some people say, if you talk about placement, we see that, in general, the Seder that we have is not the only Seder that existed. Sometimes the order was a little different. Some people have Moed Katan ending the Masechet, and Moed Katan ends with Avelut. So it's appropriate that now we start with, right, they kind of link the two Sederim by talking about people dying, because Yibum is all about someone dying without kids and how you deal with it. It's, again, it doesn't really relate to the content of the concept of Yibum. And the other answer, which was actually, I thought, the most convincing, but now it eludes me. One second. Try to remember it. That the... there's no chiyuv of marriage from the Torah. It's reshut. You don't have to marry. But in Yibum, it's the only case where you actually have an obligation to marry someone. And that's why it comes first, because here's the real obligation to marry. So that's, I thought was very interesting. Okay. Those are the, so there's 4 possible. Either it's really not the first, or it's the first because of the 3 reasons that we said. So now, what happens? Okay, here we have our guy with his wives. Okay, he's got 3 wives. Okay, now, if in any of these 15 cases, okay, if brother number one dies, he's got 3 wives. Wife number one has a relationship with brother number 2 that she's forbidden to marry him. Again, we're going to see all these cases how it could be. If she's forbidden to marry brother number 2, okay, then all the wives are patur from Yibum and Chalitza with brother number 2 only, okay? They still, so he's out of the picture when it comes to Yibum. They still have to do Yibum with brother number 3. That's explained potrot sarotehen, okay? Sarotehen, it comes from Chan and Penina, right? Or Tzarot is actually funny. In the Koran, they name them Chan and Penina to make it, you know, someone you know, and that it's women who are both married to one husband. So so she basically, by being Isur Arayot to this guy, she makes it that all the other wives can't marry him either. And you know, number one, don't need to. They don't need to do Yibum. They don't need to do Chalitza. And then they therefore can't marry him because it's Isur Arayot then. In other words, it's Isur Arayot. Why is it Isur Arayot? Because they now want to marry their husband's brother. And he can't marry his husband's sister. In other words, they are now the whole Yibum. Yibum allows that. But since there's no Chiyuv Yibum, it's not allowed anymore. So they can't marry brother number 2. So he's out of the picture. Now let's say wife number 2 marries brother number 3. And brother number 3, I actually couldn't tell if she was a woman or not. What do you think? Here. Okay. Anyway, brother number 3 marries... We had a whole problem last night in my house trying to figure out who was a woman, who was a man. Okay. Brother number 3 happens to have another wife. Okay? Now, brother number 3, unfortunately, dies without children. When he dies without children, he now took wife number 2 from the first brother. So she's a tzara of wife number 1. Now, his second wife, or first, or whatever you call it, the wife he was married to before, the wife he took on after, or whatever it was, anyone who brother number 3 is married to is called the tzarot tzarotehen. Mm-hmm. Okay? So they're the tzara of the tzara. Mm-hmm. So now, when she goes, you would think, right, she can't marry, when he dies now, brother number 2 is left. So the wife number 2, who is married to the first, obviously can't marry because she's the tzara. But now, even her tzarot can't marry brother number 2.
So okay? They're free?
So they're all free. Okay? Good news for the women. Okay. And so, yeah.
I'm sorry. If it doesn't matter whether... If they had daughters and no sons...
I don't think it makes a difference. I don't think... I don't think there's an issue, sons or daughters.
Okay. The Yibum would have to be done to both these women because it's a different lineage. One is the brothers and one is...
This woman did Yibum with him, but now there's a new Chi of Yibum upon her.
Right, so, but both of them...
But only one... Only when there's one man who dies, only one wife does Yibum.
Right, but one of them now represents the brother's line and one of them represents this guy.
That Yibum was taken care of. The fact that they didn't have kids, that becomes a new problem, not an old problem.
Okay.
It's a good question you're asking. I don't think that if... I think the chiyuv is fulfilled as soon as they get married and have relations.
Even
I think once...
Kids.
Right, right. I think they have to have relations to fulfill the chiyuv, but once they do that, then the chiyuv, that's it. You've done your... You've tried.
Okay.
That's the way I think it's... I'm almost positive that's how it works. Okay, now we get to the more complicated part, which is trying to understand what all these relationships are. Okay, we're going to have 15 cases now. Ve'elohen, bito. Okay, what does that mean? If you marry... if the first... She basically marries her... One second. she marries her uncle. Okay, you're allowed to marry your uncle, your father's brother. That is not an Isur Ariyot. So if the first marriage was her uncle, which was allowed, her uncle dies, she now wants to marry the father, right? And then she falls to Yibum to the father. She obviously can't marry his father. That's Isur Ariyot. That's very simple.
Right.
Okay, except that that's not the way all the Mefreshim understand this case, and it's not the way the Gemara understands this case, okay? This seems to be, to me, the simple pshat. It's actually interesting. The Koran explains it according to this pshat. The Shansi explains it according to the pshat of the Gemara. The pshat of the Gemara is that this is a case that we saw recently, bitom me'anusato. Do you remember that we had this case where there was a special drasha, and that's why they're saying, we're going to see in the Gemara, either we'll get to it today or we'll get to it tomorrow, that the reason why this case is... It makes a lot of sense that this is first if it's really her father. It makes perfect sense, right? Because that would be like the most arayot. But the way the Gemara understands it, I don't know why the Gemara understands it this way, but it seems clear if they understood it as bitome anusato. And then you have to explain why you start with that case. It's a very strange case to start. And they explain because it was learned from a drashan, it makes a chaviv, like special. Okay, we'll get to that in the Gemara after. But basically, there's two different interpretations of what this means. But let's go with what seems to me the pshat, which is it's really his daughter, and we'll explain the Mishnah according to it. When we get to the other case where it actually, the Gemara will, or the way the Shanstein explains, or the way the Gemara kind of intuits after, bat ishto, which sounds like his daughter also, they're going to explain that's the case of his daughter, and we're going to have to explain it some other way. Okay, so we'll hold off a minute on that. Okay, so either she marries her uncle, or bat bito ubat bino, or she marries her great uncle. Okay, so if she marries her great uncle, then she falls, right, she falls into, this is her great uncle, her great uncle's brother is her grandfather, basically. She can't marry her grandfather, either from her mother's side or from her father's side, either bat bito or bat bino. So those are three cases we've dealt with so far. Bat ishto. Okay, so again, if we say that this is bito, really his daughter, so what's bat ishto? The daughter of his wife from a different marriage. Okay? So if you're married to a woman, you also can't be with her her daughter. So she's a daughter of this guy from, okay. This guy, the brother number two, is married to a woman. She had a child from a different marriage. That child married his brother. That's right, it's not his child at all. It was from her other marriage. But it's okay for the brother because they have no relationship. But she can't marry her father. When the brother dies, she can't marry, it's not her father, right? It's now her stepfather, not by blood, right? But he can't marry a woman and her daughter. That's an Isur Ariyot, to marry a woman and her daughter. So basically, she can't marry him. So that's how we explain it. And then ubat bina, ubat bita, the same thing with the generation above, okay? A step grand uncle from the mother's side, from the father's side. Okay, now, if you say bito is bito me anusato, so then you say bat ishto is his own daughter from his wife rather than from his rape victim.
Yeah.
Okay? And then that's how you would explain Bat Yishon, not from a different marriage, but you'd explain it from him. Okay? Okay. Chamoto. Okay? If you marry your son-in-law's brother. Okay? So she, right, she marries her son-in-law's, right, she's got a son. Okay? Her son, she's got a daughter. The daughter is married to somebody, okay? And she now marries the brother of her son-in-law, okay? Now, here, so let's put him. He's the brother of her son-in-law. She marries him, okay? So here's the brother. She marries him. And now he dies, and she comes up to Yibum with the son-in-law.
Which is not.
Okay, which she can't. Okay. Ve'em chamoto. Okay, and here again, it's the exact same thing as the other. We're going up a generation, right? If she married her brother's mother-in-law's, the brother of, right, the brother's, right, okay, wait. She married the brother of this guy, his mother's mother-in-law, or his father's mother-in-law, okay? His father's mother or his mother's mother. Okay, she marries the grandparent of she marries the brother of Em chamoto. So this couple gets married. That's her kids. That's her grandchildren, basically. It's her grandchildren get married, okay? The woman who we're talking about all along, who falls to Yibum. She has grandchildren who got married. The granddaughter marries a guy, okay? This guy's brother now falls to Yibum, marries her, okay? The guy's brother. So she's now two generations away from him. That's why it's very hard to imagine this case is really accurate. But anyway, she's two generations away from him, but she marries him. Okay, she marries the brother of her granddaughter's husband. And it could be her granddaughter from the mother's side, or granddaughter from the granddaughter through her daughter, or the granddaughter through her son. Okay, next case. Achoto me'imo. Okay, his sister from his mother. So what does that mean? The brother's sister. Okay, so he marries achoto. She falls to Yibum with Achoto Me'imo. He falls to Yibum with his sister from his mother's side. So that means that the brother's sister, he has a half-sister, right? And then they fall to Yibum with the sister, right? The Achoto from his mother's side. Because Achoto from his father's side, right, that wouldn't be. Because then, if it's from the father's side, she couldn't have married him in the first place. So he has a different mother than this guy, and she's the sister of this guy from the other marriage. But she can marry him because there's no connection. Okay. Achot Imo, that's the aunt, okay? He marries this guy's aunt, okay? So then he falls into Yibum with his aunt. Now, the uncle can marry the niece, but a man can't marry his aunt. Okay? Okay. That's when they share a father, but not share a mother again, right? It always has to be that they share a father, otherwise there's no Yibum. Achot Ishto, this is easy, okay? Two brothers married two sisters, okay? I know cases like this, okay?
Isn't there a problem with that also? I heard
no. Two brothers married two sisters, there's no problem. Problem is only Yibum.
Okay.
What's the problem?
Is there any problem? Is it if two sisters? Okay, there's no problem at all.
I don't think there's any, no problem with two brothers marrying two sisters. The problem becomes if one of them dies, she falls into Yibum then with her sister's husband. Can't be. Okay. Eshet Achiv Me'imo. Okay, this is one of the more complicated ones. I have to show you with the people. Okay. Let's find some parents here. Okay, these are parents and these are parents, okay? Now, these guys had a baby and these guys had a baby. Okay, let me just remember who's born from who. Okay. This couple had a daughter and this couple had a son. They have no relationship to each other. So they're the ones who got married. However, At some point, this guy dies. Again, it doesn't, or he, they get divorced, or it doesn't matter what. It doesn't have to be, not a Yibum case. His wife marries the husband of the other one. In other words, they now become connected. Okay, originally they were two separate couples. Now they become connected, and they have another son together. So again, the daughter from the two and the son from the other two can get married. They have no relationship to each other. But now the brother, because he's born from the other marriage, they share the same father, he now can't marry her. Okay, so that's Eshet Achiv Me'imo, the wife of his brother from his mother, right? We're basically done with the tough cases. Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. Okay, now this is an interesting one. If you have three brothers, okay, one dies, they fall to Yibum with the other two, right? Only if this brother was alive at the time that he died. Let's say the brother dies, there's another brother, but the third brother's not alive yet. Okay? So this brother is not Chayav in Yibum, okay? He doesn't come in, and not only that, but he's usher to marry the woman, because as long as there's no Chayav Yibum, it's an Isur Arayo to marry your brother's wife. So that's Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. Okay? Vikalato, and the brother's daughter-in-law. Okay? If he marries his brother's daughter-in-law, okay? So basically, you can marry your brother's daughter-in-law without a problem. But when you fall to Yibum, it becomes your daughter-in-law.
Right.
So you can't marry your daughter-in-law. Those are the 15 cases. Okay? We're going to get into them more. So if you didn't follow everything exactly, but those are the relationships. Now we're going to have a little review of things I said, and we're going to have a little new stuff, but part of it is just review of what I said. The Mishnah is explaining itself, and here it's actually interesting, because now it goes back to what it says exactly in the beginning, which is, Hare elu potrot tzarotehem v'tzarot tzarotehem, mina chalitza u'mina yibum ad sof ha'olam. The exact sentence we had in the beginning. You might think that, okay, it probably just wasn't us who were complicated by all these cases and trying to figure out. They figure, by the time you finished all that, let's remember what we were talking about, because it's not just to get the relationships, right? Because now all I've been focusing on is explaining to the relationships. But the point being that this woman now postures all the other women that were married to this guy, and the tzarot tzarot to him, right? If they remarry brother number three and then he has other wives, so they're patrot them also. All of them are patrot from Yibum, again, from specifically that brother. It doesn't mean they're patrot from Yibum b'chla. They're not free and off the hook if he has other brothers. If he has no other brothers, then they're off the hook. But if he doesn't have, but if he has other brothers, then they're not totally off the hook yet.
Why
but they
say,
can't marry him.
Yafeh.
I want to talk about that right now. So that was the other thing. So literally, we talked about this Chamesh Esrei Nashim. Another thing that comes up, now I didn't have time to look this up enough, but I know that there's cases where this idea of Ad Sof HaOlam or things like that come up in the Mishnah. It's a method of exaggeration, okay? Because obviously, there's a limit to how many wives all these people are going to be having, and how much could it possibly go? How big is your family? Although you could imagine a big family, but it's definitely exaggeration. We had this, where was it? In Yoma. Do you remember it's not exactly the same context, but with the Kohen Gadol, the first Mishnah, by the way, it starts the first Mishnah of the parak, is about the Kohen Gadol, and they're matkin another Kohen Gadol, a wife for the Kohen Gadol, in case his wife dies. And one opinion says, but then Ein La Davar Sof, in other words, how many wives do you have to keep there for him? It's actually funny, I didn't even think about it when I thought about it last night, that it's also wives. It's, right? How many wives do you have to, it's the same context of wives and many of them, and it's, you know, this idea of self. It's a method of exaggeration. Now, why they would use this method of exaggeration here, I don't have a good answer for you. But it's food for thought. You can think about it, but it's definitely a tool of exaggeration. It's a literary device. It would be interesting to do a little bit of research and see where the word self comes up in the Mishnayot and how it's used, and then you could probably come up with a good explanation for it. Okay, here we have a new thing, but then we're going to get back to explaining stuff that we already explained. Vikulan imetu omianu. Here's a new halacha. If these guys are married, okay, our main couple that we have is married, and remember, she's Easter Arayo to brother number two, and therefore patras everybody. But let's say before he dies, she dies. Okay? The fact that they were married at some point, if they're not married, we're going to see for four different possible reasons they wouldn't be married at that time. If they're not married at the time that he dies without kids, then this whole mission is irrelevant. Okay, now we're going to see this throughout the Masechta. You might wonder, well, why would you even think it's relevant? Because if she's not in the picture anymore, what's the relevance? But we're going to see, like, you can't marry your brother's wife, is even if your brother's wife isn't alive anymore. In other words, if you were married to this woman, you can't marry her sister. Or, sorry, I meant your, right, your brother can't marry your wife even if your brother's not there anymore. That's what we even saw about Yibum. You're allowed to marry your brother's wife, even though he's not alive anymore, right? You're allowed to marry him only because of Yibum, but otherwise you're not allowed to marry even though the brother's not alive anymore. Now, these Isur Arayot take place even when the people are dead and they don't have a relationship anymore. The fact that your brother was married to this woman at some point in his life, you're not allowed to marry her. Now, obviously for Yibum you are, but even though they're not married anymore, that was his wife and you're not allowed to. So that's why it's relevant, but they're telling us if she's not alive at the time or she's not married to him, then this doesn't work. Okay, so these are the cases. If she died, o mi'anu. What's mi'un? Mi'un is when generally the father would marry off the daughter. Now, if the father's not alive and the daughter's a yitoma, and she's a yitoma as a ktana, she's still a ktana when the father dies. So who marries her? The brother or the mother? Okay, they're in charge of marrying her. Now, that marriage has a special feature to it, which is that when she gets of age, if her father marries her off, she can't do this. But if it's this, the concept here is that it's only marriage midrabanan. Okay, she's not married midoraita because the father didn't marry her off; only the brother or the mother. So it's only a marriage midrabanan. Now, because of that, we give her an option to go. I say, I don't want this marriage. If she gets to gil shtei mesrei and shtei saarot and all that, right? She shows simanei bagrut. She can say, I'm not interested in marrying this guy. I think she only has a small window in which to do that, but she can say, I don't want to marry this guy. That's called mi'un, because it's not a get. It's not, right? They were never really married. So she basically cancels the marriage before it really happens. So that if she was mima'en and she says, I don't want to be married to this guy. O nitgarshu, obviously divorce. O nimtzu alonit, or it was found that she couldn't have children. Okay, and therefore they separated. Tzarotehen mutarot. Okay, then all their tzarot can get married to the guy, and then they're chayav in yibum. Now, here's a really, I would call this strange line in the Mishnah a little bit atypical as far as I could tell. They're telling you, by the way, if we talk about our 15 cases, there's a few cases where miun and ilonit aren't relevant. Okay? V'iya ta yochal omar b'chamoto u'be'em chamoto u'be'em chamiv shenimtzu ilonit o shemianu. Why is that? Because they were married and had children already. That's why she's the mother-in-law. She's the mother of the mother-in-law, right? She's the grandmother-in-law. Okay, she can't possibly not have had children, and she can't possibly have done miyun because she's already a gdolah. She can only do miyun when you're young. So anyway, okay, that's just a weird side point. Now we're going to have review of what we said. Ketzad, or explanation of what I already explained. Ketzad potrot tzarotehen. How could it be, what does it mean that you're poter the tzarotehen? Okay. Haita bito. They're just giving the first case. O achat mikol arayot ele nesuot lachiv. Bilo isha acheret umet. Okay. And he has another wife and he dies. Okay. So this is our first case. Right. Our first guy. The first guy is married, has a wife, this woman that we're talking about, the bito and all that, and some other wives. Umet. And he dies. Kishem shebito ptura, just like this guy's daughter, who's supposed to now marry him, is ptura from Yibum. Kach tzareta ptura. Okay, just like we said. Hilkach, halchat tzarat bito. Now we're going to get to the tzarot tzarotehen. If the tzarat bita, okay, the other woman, marries brother number three, v'niseit l'achiv asheni, okay, which really, right, I call him brother number three, but here it means this guy's second brother, which is really brother number three for our purposes. Below isha acheret, and he has another wife, umet. This is total review of what we said with tzarot tzarot tehen is. And brother number three dies, kishem shetzarat bito ptura, kach tzarat tzarata ptura. Okay, afilu heim mea. Here the Mishnah uses a different lashon, right? Mm-hmm. Again, another exaggeration. Even if it's 100, which also, by the way, the mea comes up in Edim Zomimim. Okay, there's cases of if the Zomimim were Nasu Zomimim, and those Zomimim were Nasu Zomimim, and those were Nasu. It also says, Afilu Mea. Okay, or sometimes they say, Afilu Mea Edim, even if Mea Edim come. Okay. Ketzad. Ketzad imetu sarotehen mutarot. Now, what's the case where she dies before, right, our main woman dies before he dies, right? She dies first, then he dies. Right? How are they? How are tzarotehem mutarot? What's the case? So it's exactly what we said, but we'll read it again. Haita bito, and as we'll read it in the Mishnah, haita bito, oh, achat mikol arayot ele nisuot lachiv. Okay, his daughter was married to the brother. Below isha acheret, and he had another wife. Meita bito, onit garsha, his daughter dies, or she gets divorced. Vacharkach meitachiv, and then his brother dies, the main guy of ours, right? He dies. Then tzarata muteret. Okay? Then all the other wives can marry the father now, because, again, the father at the time of death has no connection to that woman anymore. In other words, the father's brother is no longer related to that woman, no longer married. B'chol ha'yicholah l'ma'ein. Now we get to this issue I told you, because she's only married de Rabbanan, a woman who does, okay, not, a woman who can do miyun, okay, yicholah l'ma'ein, okay, she can do miyun potentially, which means, in other words, she's married midrabanan. Okay, now we have a really weird case, because what happens? Let's say she's our little girl, okay? She gets married by her brother and her mother to this person. This person, right, his brother happens to have a relationship with her that they're usher. Now, she does miyun, okay? She says, I'm not interested in marrying you, and she's out of the picture. So what did we say? She's out of the picture, right? However, we have a problem here, because there's a chiyuv d'oraita of yibum on the other wives, right? But there's a... sorry, I made a mistake. She doesn't say miyun. She doesn't do miyun. That's why I got confused for a second. She stays married to him, okay? But what did we say? This is only a marriage midrabanan. So now, midrabanan, what happens? Since she's arayot to the brother, he dies, she's isur arayot, but only on a midrabanan level. And on a midoraita level, we have a chiyuv of yibum. So now we're really stuck. Because midoraita, these women are supposed to do yibum with this guy. There's no patur, because she's not married midoraita. Mm-hmm. But midrabanan, it's usher for them to marry him. So what do you obviously do in these cases? We're going to see a lot of cases like this. Kol yicholah l'ma'ein v'lo mi'ana. Okay, she didn't do miyun. She stayed married, meaning she's married to rabanan. Sarata choletza v'lo mityabemet. We do chalitza. Okay, we do chalitza to kind of break it, right, to just in case, to make sure. In other words, we have this safek, so we say, obviously you can't do yibum, because then it would be isur arayo possibly, because if she's not chayav in yibum, if she really is patur, because this midrabanan must be, right, strong enough that it patures all the other women, and then they marry him, well, that's a forbidden relationship, because that's the brother, and you're not allowed to marry the brother unless there's a chayav yibum. So whenever there's a safek, we say chotzim v'lo mityabemim. Okay. Tov. That was a lot. Now we're going to get to the Gemara.
For 1 second,
yeah, sure.
Because there's these two concepts of Torah and Mutarot, which are obviously different. Like, Torah means that they're Mutarot from the Yibum, they don't have to do it. Mutarot means that
they can marry.
So it's almost like the opposite concept.
Yeah. Mutarot means that they're allowed to marry him. That's what it means here. Yeah, it actually is interesting. You're pointing out that they use the Lashon of Muteret. Because it's not only Muteret, they can do Yibum, and they have to do Yibum. No, it's really a chiyuv to do yibum, so it's a strange lashon. You're saying muteret. I think the reason they use muteret is because it was usher to them to marry him and be mekayim the mitzvah. So now it's like it's all mutar. It's allowed. They're
okay.
Exactly, but you're right. They're not free because they're chayuv to do yibum. So
okay.
So yeah, you're right. The terminology is a little confusing there. Okay. Any other questions before we move on? You'll see for once that the Gemara is easier than the Mishnah. Michti kulu me'achot isha yalchinan. If they're all learned out, we're going to see this tomorrow's daf, okay? All of Yibum and this issue of the tzara being ptura, we're going to learn this whole halacha, that if you're Isur or Rayot, you can't do Yibum, and then it's poter the tzara. We're going to learn it out from the case of achot isha. So if that's the case, that we learn it out from achot isha, which we just have to take as a given now, we'll see it tomorrow, Lidne achot isha bereisha. Basically, what the Gemara is trying to do here is to darshan, why is the order? And we're not going to finish this today, we're just going to get started on it. Why did it start with Bito and Bat Bito, right? We said if Bito is really his daughter, it's a perfect place to start. But since the Gemara doesn't understand it that way and learns it as Bito me'anu sato, it's very strange that it starts there. And what do they say? The best place to start is achot isha, okay? Because that's the case where they learn this all out from, the two brothers and the two sisters. So now, should have said that at first. V'chi te matana chumre chumre nakat. Maybe it was going from the more chamor first, Rabbi Shimon he, and it goes according to Rabbi Shimon, Tamar Srepa Hamura. Okay, so now what's the issue? The first nine in our Mishnah are all, they all get Srepha. If they have this relationship, they get Srepha. Okay? The next case, the case of Kalato gets Skila, and all the others are, to this I don't remember, they're probably, I don't know, if they're Herig or Chenek. But now you have to know an important basic machlok, okay? We generally say, what do we say in Yom Kippur? Al Arba Mitot Beitin, Skila, Srepha, Herig, Chenek. Okay, we're coming right up with Yom Kippur, you remember the order. So now, Skila, Srepha, Herig, Chenek. Okay, or if you know the song, Skila, Srepha, Herig. Okay. But not everybody agreed with that order. Okay, that order is order of chumra. Skila is the heart. That's how we pass him. But Rabbi Shimon said it's Srepha, Skila. He has the opposite order. Chenek and Herig. Okay? Now, based on Rabbi Shimon, this Mishnah would make sense because the first nine are Srepha. Okay? Well, at least let's stop there because then it gets confusing. It doesn't really work. But they're going to say, maybe you want to say that it goes by chumra and Srepha is the most chumra and the first nine cases are Srepha. But then they say, how do we know the first nine cases are Srepha? We're going to see in a minute. Ihachi litne chamoto bereisha de'ikar Srepha b'chamoto k'tiva. Okay, the pasuk that teaches us Srepha is chamoto. Okay, the pasuk is here. Be'isha shir yikachet isha. If you have the notes on the side, be'isha shir yikachet isha ve'et ima zimahi ba'esh yisrefu ve'et hen. Okay, that's a woman and her mother. That's your mother-in-law. Okay? So if you marry the mother-in-law, then it's Yisur Srepha. And that, from there, they darsh into all the other cases from Gzeres Shavah. So if you're going to say it goes by Achi Chamor, well then put Chamota, which is the key Srepha case, the one that's explicit in the Torah, put that one first. Ve'od, and the other problem is obviously going to be what I alluded to before, which is batar chamoto litne kalato de batar strefa skila chamura. Okay, because what do you see? Right, the next case after strefa should have been the skila case, and the skila case is kalato. And where does kalato appear on our list? The very last. So that doesn't hold water. So in the end, they answer what I said before, which is ela bito kevan de ati midrasha chavivale, and that's where we're going to end today, even though that's not where the sugya ends. For our page. Since we learned it out by a drasha, this case of, again, it has to be bito me anusato and not really bito. Therefore, it's chavivale. Now, this is just a good concept, which is they like things that were learned by drasho. Why is that? Because they want to show that the divrei rabbanan are strong. So they pick a case that dafka isn't midorite, right? Sometimes you say the opposite. You say the doraita is the most important, but sometimes you say it's dafka the derabbanan that are the most important or the most, because that shows, you have to remember also, also the time period against the Tzdukim and all these people who didn't believe in Tarasha Baal Peh. So it was all about the rabbis and the Masorah of the rabbis, and we've seen this a lot. So sometimes that has precedence. Obviously, sometimes, again, it's all, you know, what you're trying to answer up and where, you know, what answer you're going to pull out of your bag. Sometimes you say, oh, it's Daraita. That's obviously why it's first. But since we can't say that, we're going to say, oh, it's Darabana and it's a Drasha, and that's why it's first. Okay. End here.